Thank you, Marcia. Thank you very much. Music always tunes our heart, makes our hearts ready to receive the Word of God as it comes from our speaker. Well, as I mentioned, this is a great day here at Faith Bible Church because our speaker this morning grew up right here in our church. And somehow, our ministry in Sunday school and junior church, and my ministry during the church service, somehow it all instilled in him a desire to teach the Word of God, and now that desire has come to fruition, hasn't it? Yeah, that reminds me to say, when you see these kids running around here on Sunday, I hope you pray for them and take the time to get to know them and let them know that you love them and care for them and want to encourage them, because you never know. That little boy just might grow up to be the next Oscar. Or that little girl might grow up to be the next Myrtle, or the mother of the next Oscar. But now it is time to introduce this Oscar. Oscar is a man who has shown faithfulness in every area of the ministry that he's been engaged in here at our church. From helping me give the church a deep cleaning during the lockdown, he was here faithfully many days for that, to traveling to a conference in Arkansas with me to get a feel for a Grace Church in another state, and right on down to teaching the adult Sunday school class. He's really the reason we instituted the rotation, is because I mentioned to Pastor Baalbach, who was teaching regularly, I said, you know, we've got to give this young man a chance to speak, but we didn't want to put the pressure on him of being the guy who speaks all the time. So we came up with the rotation, and I've got to say, from what I've seen in his messages, he has the same desire that I've always had, to know the truth and make it known. So come on up and make known the truth that you have for us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning again. Yeah. So I'm thankful for that and introducing me. As you know, my name is Oscar Ochoa. I'm deeply and greatly honored to be in front of you guys. This being in front of here, always being over there, and seeing the person here, it's like, you know, it's a milestone, and it's just a big moment for me just to be up here before you guys. Grace believers, this church, you know, as the Apostle Paul says, the church is the local church, you know, things start here. So I'm grateful. I'm thankful to Pastor Kurt for even giving me a chance, and, you know, seeing that I was able to even be a part of this. And I'm just going to give my little thanks on, because this is the first time I've been up here, and this is it's a grand stage, you know. This is the local church. It's bigger than the stadium. It's more important. It's got, you know, we're handling God's word in such a, it's so important, it's such a high calling, and it's such a serious calling to handle God's word and to, at the best of your abilities, rightly divide it and to share it, like Pastor Kurt was saying. So I'm definitely grateful to be up here, and I got to give my thanks out because this is my first time, so, you know, the next time I come up, I probably won't, but like I said, my name's Oscar Ochoa. I grew up in East Chicago, Indiana. I graduated in Crown Point, and I've been here since a kid. My uncle, my father, and my grandmother are the ones who helped me a lot and getting me here and showing me stuck through, Miss Myrtle, Mr. Thornton, Pastor Kurt, all the teachers, Vern, when he was here, I remember him. And those things stick through because I left the church for many years. And I was like Demas, who loved the world and went out and did things that they weren't supposed to, you know, being worldly. And by the grace of God, I've come back. And I'm going to come back strong. So I'm going to come back strong for the Lord, for everyone here, for my family. I want to give a special shout out to my wife and my two stepkids that they've been there for me ever since we've met. And they have my back all the way. So I'm grateful for that. I love them. And Paul Belbach, Ray Seiler, everyone here, Sue, Ed, you know, he's with the Lord. Dave, he's with the Lord. All the teachers here. I want to get this out because it's that important, because the local church is that important. Everybody here. Stacy, Tracy, I mean. And then Bill, Lori, you know, everyone here. So it's an honor for me because it's that big of a deal. Handling God's word is a big deal. And this is in any situation, whether you're sharing it with somebody on the street or whether you're sharing it with family members. It's a dream come true. You know, and this is, like I said, this is a grand scale in my eyes, because this is, and as we grow in grace, we want it to be grander and grander, to share the word and to become more knowledgeable in God's word, because that's what He asks of us, you know. And I thank you for that. So, and I know people remember when they were saved, but I don't. I know people have a date, but I don't remember. But I'm glad I'm saved now anyway. So, you know, so I'm glad for that. I don't know when it happened, but it happened. And I'm here, and I'm going to go full throw with everything. So, today we're going to be in, today's message is the heroes of faith. We all know that Hebrews chapter 11 is the heroes chapter. But, today we will talk about some men and women that were faithful to God. This chapter is sometimes called the Heroes of Faith and the Saints Hall of Fame. Hopefully today's review will help us in our faithful walk with Christ. A little story. So Henry Ford was creating the V8 engine. A lot of his engineers were saying it's impossible. You can't make a V8 engine. You can't make a V8 engine. It can't be done. And he's like, just keep doing it. They came to few months, 6 months, a year. They kept coming to him saying, we can't do it. He's like, don't come back to me until you can do it. So he came back. It finally, it got done, you know. And he didn't give up. He had faith and he had the courage to keep going and do that. I have another story. It's called the 4-Minute Mile Run by Roger Bannister. They said that you couldn't run under 4 minutes, and that it was impossible that you could run a mile in 4 minutes. So they said it was impossible. They said your lungs will explode. And yeah, there was a bunch of things, and this is what people, they have this idea that they don't know, and that, you know, this guy had the courage and he worked hard and he had faith that he was able to run. He ran the mile in 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Now this was done in May 6th of 1954. Since then, people have been breaking this record. So the point is that you're going to have people that are going to come up with all kinds of things saying that it can't be done and that it's impossible. But we know with God all things are possible. So those are just two stories that were deemed impossible but now are, you know. And that's, you know, and then some point in there with my life it felt that way. But now I don't. So because I'm choosing to serve the Lord, rightly divided, and put my confidence in Him. And that's what we should all do. Tried to do anyway. So yeah, these men had courage and faith. So and we all have heroes ourselves. So now we're into the heroes. There's superheroes. I mean, there's all types of superheroes. We got Captain America, we have the Hulk. I mean, a lot of these, you got the gods of Egypt, you know, you got Zeus and all them. A lot of them come from Genesis 6, the men of renown. It's probably a thing stemming from all the way back then, but You got the, for the video gamers, there's the Hero of Time, Link. There's, you know, there's Goku, there's Kratos, there's all type of people, okay? And then there's movie stars. People look have heroes and movie stars. YouTubers, businessmen. You know, and then they have, even, which is good, that children look up to their fathers. You know, and people look up to their mothers. People look up to their grandfathers. You know, people who did a good thing, and, you know, they stood up for what was right. That's a hero that people look up to. So we all have heroes in our life that we look up to, and we're like, man, that person's great. And those are the good things. I mean, and then you have a Hall of Fame, and the Sports Hall of Fame. We know, we all love those, right? I mean, you got Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, Tiger Woods, all in these different sports. You know, Messi, Ronaldinho, Walter Payton, Mayweather, Pacquiao, Rocky Marciano. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And one of my favorites, if you guys remember, is Frank Thomas, the Big Hurt. Yeah, from the White Sox, number 35. I remember as a kid, he was like my favorite baseball player. And obviously Michael Jordan as a kid was my favorite. And so we all look up. So what is a hero? A hero is a person who is admired or idolized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. So that's a kind of basic definition of a hero. For all Christians, our ultimate hero is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And the Savior is a synonym for hero. And so we know that He saved us from eternal damnation. That's our true one and true hero, that He has saved us from what we deserve, and He paid the price for us. My question for you to meditate on while we go through these verses is, have you or will you be a hero to faith of God, a hero of faith to God, and help serve others? And do you remember when someone was a hero and faithful to you in life, or they shared the gospel? So think of these things in terms of yourself while we're going through these heroes that God deemed, they believed, and they were counted as for righteousness. And just think of that while we're doing it. So Hebrews chapter 1, let's start. Oh, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Getting a little dyslexic here, huh? Alright, and we all know these. This is a breakdown to see within ourselves, can we be a hero for others? Can we have the faith that God wants us to be faithful? Can we apply these things and do this in the name of the Lord? And whatever He asks us to do for this dispensation, are we going to do it? So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that substance is, you can also say that it's things that count. That which counts. So faith counts. Okay, substance is like the core of something. We can see it like that. So how do you know when you don't see it? It's by faith. If you don't see anything, and you know, you got to have faith. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That is the definition of faith the Bible gives. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So those are the Old Testament patriarchs. They had faith, and God seen that and gave them a good report with the Lord. Verse 3. Now, this verse always gets to me because it's such a powerful verse when I hear it. But through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, by this faith, that things which count, the things that even the old patriarchs had, we have faith that this verse is saying that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself spoke the worlds into existence, and that it was made from nothing. It wasn't from a chemistry set. It wasn't from something that he just bobbled up and made and put together. He actually just spoke it and it became. Now, we all know these things, but that's what that verse says. And we're supposed to have faith in that. Not in evolution, not in that anything else. There's no, men are always trying to find the origins of you know, the universe. Well, here it is right here. We don't need to look no forward. Because that is what that is. Lord made the worlds from nothing. It just came to be. And it is by Jesus. Psalm 33 verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth." So that's everything he made. The angels, the stars, the planets, by the breath of his mouth they came to be. Our God is a mighty God we serve. Amen. And he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. So that means he's all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. So that means he's a complete and all-powerful God. Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. All things are naked and opened to him." You can't hide from God. This guy knows where every single individual is that's breathing, that's organic. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're doing. Matthew 10:30 says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." I mean, hey, this guy can number every hair. Everybody's, yeah, I'm starting to run out. But but anybody else, I mean, just how many individuals here, he can number all your heads and all the billions that are in the world. That shows power. Isaiah 40, and we're going over the attributes of how powerful God is. Isaiah 40, verse 28. "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." He never gets tired. The God, he's the Lord is constant and never gets tired. And that's just a show of his power. 1 Peter 3:8 says, "One day is with the Lord as a thousand years." I mean, we think of a thousand years like, dang, that's a long time. It's like one day to the Lord. And it's just it's unfathomable. Psalms 147 verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. He names every single star and can tell what they are, and he got some in his hand. Psalm 44 verse 21, he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You can't hide what's in here to him. He can go, he can see it, he's seeing it now. So that is showing his power. And this is the God we serve and to be faithful to. This is the faith that the heroes had, because they understood that this was God, all that power in that, and that the Lord Jesus Christ and God is the true hero. And I'm going to go to 2 Samuel verse 22 verse 3. I'm just going to say it. "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation." That's the Lord Jesus, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. That's my hero. That's what David, and our scripture reading today, David, when he was his own, when he slew that giant, he looked up to his hero, which is God. God was his hero, the all-powerful God that we serve. And I want to bring that up because David is a big figure in the Bible. And he was a man after God's own heart. So God seen this guy, I mean, you seen as a kid, he was killing lions and bears. I mean, there's not many kids that do that today. He had a, you know, it's that expression, he had a heart of gold, and he had the stuff. So Isaiah 43 verse 11 says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no salvation." There is nothing that you can do to save yourself after you die, after you leave this planet. When you die and you're not saved, like Ray Seiler did a great Sunday school message today, and if I encourage you to watch it on YouTube, because you're either going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven, and there is no salvation besides the Lord. And then one more. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. When God says, he does. Whenever he says he's going to do, he's going to do it, and he does it. So now that we've seen about God's power and his faithfulness and why we should be faithful to him, we go to verse 4 in Hebrews. So I wanted to get that out of the way because I'm going to show you what a real hero, the creator of the universe got his stuff. So, and then we're going to go by individuals that we can look up as well, that you got that Hall of Fame going on. So by faith, verse 4 in Hebrews, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. So we all know the Cain and Abel story. Faith is taking God at his word. There's another definition of faith. Faith always prompted God to declare the believer righteous. When you have faith in what God says, you are declared a righteous individual. Abel was a spiritual kind. He was the spiritual. He listened to what God said. He brought a blood offering. The firstling of the flock was probably a lamb. And Cain is identified as natural. And he gave a bloodless offering, the first fruits of his labor. So man has been trying to work for his, for his salvation since Cain and Abel. And Cain here is the big thing is he had no faith. He didn't believe that he should bring a blood sacrifice to atone for what, that's what God said to do. So if you don't, that's why God didn't accept his offering, because he didn't do what God said to do. Now that's the first, that's a quick, obviously it's the first one, and it's kind of a, sets the pace of what is going on in these chapters. But Cain was probably a nice guy. He probably was a likable guy. He probably was good, but if you still don't listen to what God says to do, then it's over with. That's a God shall not be mocked. And he probably rationalized, I work hard, I do this and that, but it's still, when you rationalize and do these things, God will not accept unless what he asks you to do. Just a note, God in different dispensations instructs man to do things differently. For example, during Moses' time and the giving of the law, to be counted faithful, you needed to do animal sacrifices and follow 600 plus laws. So you had a bunch of things there. Today, we are under a different set of rules that God asked for us to be faithful. Today, he's just asking us to believe and that we're saved. That the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have eternal life and that he saved us from eternal damnation. He wants us to believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. We'll go through that in a bit, but he just wants us to believe and you're saved. And then what's in Paul's epistles is our marching orders for today. But and you got Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. It's a plain English. It's the gift of God. You just believe. So we're saved by grace and through faith. And lest any man should boast, because men would be boasting all day long on what they did. Because I hear it sometimes. And so, verse 5, moving forward. We have Enoch. So we got Abel and we got Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So, he's here 1 minute, gone the next. The idea here is that he pleased God. So meaning he was a man of faith. So he pleased God and he was a man of faith, whatever his testimony was. So verse 6, but without faith, here's the big one, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he and believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you diligently seek him today? You know, this, if you don't have no faith, you ain't pleasing God. A faithless life, a faith where you don't believe that you're going to make it through your day and that you have salvation. God don't like that. He wants you to believe in him and all his word. So, and that's what these heroes of faith did. Abel believed him. Enoch believed him. Now we're at Noah. Just to add, it's not giving a lot of money, not giving to a church. If you don't have faith, because people think that, oh, I give money and I do these things for church. It's not that. It's faith in what God says for today. It has nothing to do with the money you give and the tithing and all these things you think is going to be helpful. If you're not believing what God says to do for today, then you're going to be out of luck like Cain. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. He was preparing for a flood. Imagine, it didn't even rain at that time. So you got a guy where it doesn't rain, you're like, what is that? You got a boat because, you know, there's a flood coming. And I mean, I'm sure he was felt foolish, scorned, ridiculed. And that's how, if we share the gospel today, doesn't people make you feel that way? That when you're following, that you sometimes they try to make you feel that way, where you're like, dang, you know, it hurts. But Noah went through this, and he still did it. You know, he probably was, they all looked at him like he was crazy. You're going to build an ark because what? The whole earth is going to flood? You know, and it's like, so that took big faith on Noah's part. And there was only 8 people that believed of however many there were. I mean, today there's billions, but there was probably close to billions then too. So, and it's always that small remnant that believe. And we're part of that remnant, and thank God that we are. And that's why we're trying to outreach and try to get others to do that. And they must have thought he was crazy. And that's a quick tidbit on Noah. So, verse 8. Now we're into Abraham. Good old Abraham. All right, so Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. And we're just going to kind of, so we know Abraham had a lot of things that he was came out of paganism, so for him to believe God there is, you know, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, it's like telling God that you owe me. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. See, God, you ain't. It's like if you're working for God, you owe me now. Because God don't owe nobody nothing. God is God. He's sovereign. And that's what that verse is saying. It's saying, so, I'm working for what I got going on now. Now you owe me. But we know that's not how that works. Verse 3. For what saith the scripture? What a powerful line that is. What does the Bible say about any kind of situation in life? What does the Bible say first? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's where we get that Abraham believed him, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's about believing. It's not about any works. It's about, well, even though sometimes you believe and it has works involved, like when Moses and them, but it's all, it has nothing to do with the works that you're doing. It's just believing what God has said, and that and it's not to bring a sacrifice, it's not to speak in tongues, it's not to join the church, it's not believe and be baptized, it's believe, period. That's it. And today, it's like we said, we're going to get into it right now. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And that's what we were saying, God don't owe us nothing. It's not, this is, when you working for something, now it's a debt. And that God has given us a free gift that we see in Ephesians 2:8-9. And in verse 5, now here's a good one. But to him that worketh not, there are no works, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. See, and it's not just people who are, you know, God ain't justifying anyone that thinks that they're good enough. You know, I'm good enough. I work for whatever. I'm good. God don't justify them person. God justifies the one that believes in what he says. And that's, and it might be hard to comprehend, but this is what the Bible's saying. And the person who says, I am a sinner, I sin, you know, I need a Savior. Because we all do. And that's where it starts off. It's not, oh, I'm going to do this and God's going to accept me. No, you just believe what he says. And I stress that because there's billions out there that believe that. You know, and to expound on the worketh not, Romans is a book, is a foundational book that gives us our marching orders for today. So we're in Romans right now, and this is our marching orders for today. This is that foundational book. And this, what Romans is saying, we take this to the bank. So this is our for today. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So it's not me saying it, it's the Bible. So Hebrews, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9. Now we're going to get in a little more into these, a little more into the heroes now. All right. No, not Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. Sorry about that. See, I still got a little... I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little nervous up here, but it's working out well, so I appreciate it. Verse 9. By faith he sojourned, talking about Abraham still, sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham had faith in a strange land. They didn't have a written word back then, I'm sure it was, you know, scary sometimes, you know, in the strange lands that he was in. Imagine people in other parts of the world today. You're a Christian, you go to some parts in the world today, we probably won't see you again. There's some people, there's parts of this world that they persecute Christians, and they kill them, and they jail them. And we're lucky to be here in America. Blessed. Like, blessed beyond. So, and the powers that be are trying to bring that nonsense here. And trying to bring all that evil here. And let's just be grateful and redeem the time that we have. The peace that we have. And we're blessed here in America. And we pray for them that don't have it as good for as us, you know, don't have it as good for, as we have it. I think I'm going to talk about that. So we can, you know, and if we want to do something, we can, if If we want to be a hero to someone, we could send money out to people, out to missionaries out there, help get Bibles out there, tracts to other countries, Bible tracts to other countries, join the fight for people's souls. And I'm going to get into a little bit more than that later, but yeah, let's go to verse 11. Now we're in with Sarah. Now we're going to get back to Abraham. Sarah, and we're just going to talk about Sarah. We know Sarah. She believed, God said that she was going to have a child in her old age, and she had one. So imagine people now, they would be like, well, I'm 90 years old, I can't have a child. But back then, she believed, and she had that miraculous birth. I think we're going to jump, we're going to go to verse 13. And verse 13 of Hebrews, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So these patriarchs, even all the way up to even with Moses and all these other characters, they didn't see the promises. They didn't see the Savior. They knew that they were promised a Savior, but they didn't see the Messiah. They knew that they were promised a kingdom of heaven on earth, but they didn't see Him. They didn't see the kingdom when the kingdom hasn't yet come. They were promised eternal life in that kingdom of heaven on earth. So there was a lot of promises. Even I don't think Abraham even made it to the promised land. And he didn't see that, or he didn't see the multitude that God promised him of his kin. He didn't see that the great nation of Israel. So these are promises that he just believed, and that he's the father of the Jews. And we thank God that he believed, because all these are coming together now. And we know that God is, my Bible. God follows through on his promises. Are we going to move on to verse 17? And this is going back to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received in him in a figure. I mean, that took, imagine if God asked you to do that to your child, to offer up your child as a sacrifice, and that God was going to bring him back from the dead. I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't like that at all. That'd be take big, big faith to do that. And Abraham was going to do it. We all know the story. He was right before he was about to come down, God stopped him, and seeing that he was going to do it, slay his only child, so, and believing that he was going to bring him back from the dead. So that takes a lot of faith, and you may not think it, but imagine if the God and Creator is saying, hey, I'm going to give you all these things. Just kill your son. And he's going to be like, oh, he's got to come back from the dead. I mean, it's a lot going on there, you know. So we get tried every day as well. We get tried with individuals that want to push our buttons. Trust me, I had a pretty decent week this week. It was very trying, and I gotta stick with the Lord and keep praying. It just happens. All right, so we're gonna kind of bounce down here. So Isaac and Jacob, we know there, verse 20. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worship, leaning upon the top of his staff. You got Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandments concerning his bones. And then you have Moses. His parents were faithful. They kept him alive, didn't listen to the king's commandment. And he had faith that he didn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction, verse 25, with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's kind of like, we can kind of apply that. I mean, we want to listen to what God says instead of enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. And then verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. And verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as the dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Yeah, Moses had a lot going on too. He had to bring out a whole million plus people. I mean, I don't know how much it was, but he had to go against Pharaoh. He was the son of, you know, the stepson of Pharaoh, and he decided not to be part of them. Then God saying, "Hey, you know," and he wasn't a very what was it? He wasn't very bold. I don't think he was good with speech. And God said, and he had Aaron, and God still sent him. He still did it, and then he went through the wilderness, and then he went. I mean, imagine. I don't know how Israel even had the audacity to even talk back in the wilderness. Because if I would have seen an ocean, the sea part, I don't know, man. You're walking through the sea, and you see it, and you're like, how are they so, you know, stubborn like that? Because, I mean, I don't know. I just, and Moses had faith that God was going to do what he said he was going to do, and that's a strong will there. So, moving forward, you got Rahab the harlot. She was in Jericho, and she hid the spies, and then she was rewarded. One of the few Gentiles, I think, were saved back then, because it was mostly all Israel. Then they have the many heroes of faith that goes down in verse 32. You got Samson, Gideon, Barak, Samuel. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And I'm going to kind of talk about a few that aren't mentioned. But you got Esther, the queen of, she's like the queen of courage. If you guys remember Esther, she saved the Israelites from genocide. And that's the one that a woman, you know, for women, they want to see that it's a powerful woman there. She could have been killed, and she decided to do it, and she saved her people from that. And you have John the Baptist, you know, that he went to jail. They cut his head off, but he was prophesied and, you know, Lord's cousin, but he was preaching, and he was bold. And they took him. Stephen, he was offering the kingdom for the third time, and when they got him, man, they stoned him. You know, the 12, and I always think, sometimes I just think of the 12 apostles. I'm like, man, what an honor to just be with the Lord Jesus Christ, like in his earthly ministry. Like, you're sitting there talking with God, you know, every day you're with him. It's like, what an honor them guys had, you know, and the faith. I mean, they seen the miracles and all that, but, like, it's crazy. Like, if I was with the Lord and hanging out with him, they're like, what's up? God, Jesus. I mean, I think it's cool, man. The 12, they had a, and I could see why everybody wants to look at the 12 the way they do, but it was his earthly ministry. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ in his heavenly ministry. He's in heaven right now, sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's two different things. Alright, so verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promises. And I read something that was from Pastor Kurt, actually, that that promises the resurrection. So I don't know if it was the resurrection. I don't know too much, but I just wanted to close at that because that's the promise they're talking, because it's singular. They're talking about the resurrection. But, oh, and two more I wanted to talk about. Job is one of the ones that he lost everything. If you want to know about losing anything, you read the book of Job, because he went through it all. You know, lost his family, all his wealth, lost his health, and still came back, never went against God, and persevered. That's a strong, strong thing to read up on. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we remember them. I know if I would have seen a furnace, man, I'd be like, ooh. Yes. They weren't bound down to no other god. And they stayed strong. They stayed with the God of the Bible. They didn't bow down. They said, why aren't you bowing down? And they said, because we don't serve you. We serve the living God. Okay, so now that brings me to our last. Because we know our hero is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have a hero in this dispensation, and his name is the Apostle Paul. And we were saving him for last because a lot of people say, we don't want to hear that Paul. Paul, who? What? Paul, he's not part of nothing. No, the Apostle Paul is our apostle for today. And he was a hero, and he had great faith. Great faith, and he is our pattern for today, whether you want to believe it or not. He was called Saul of Tarsus. He was a tyrant, and he was the worst of the worst. He was persecuting and killing believers. And for those that think that they're bad enough, or they're too bad, this guy was the worst, okay? So for anyone that thinks that they can't come to the Lord because they're too evil or too bad, this is our pattern. He was killing people. So he's a guy that the Lord seemed fit to save. He was saved on the road to Damascus. This guy went to different cities and towns preaching the mystery. An apostle to the Gentiles and an apostle of grace. He went to many pagan towns where they sought to kill him for preaching Christ resurrected. It was dangerous for him. He was going to these dangerous places, and he thought it fit. He was bold like that. He was like, no, we're gonna, we live in America. There's dangerous places here, but like, this dude was going to, so it was dangerous, and he was brought before kings, and he suffered greatly. And he had beatings. He died, and I think came back to life. I mean, there was many times they were like, he was like dead, and he came back up or some. I forgot, went out of the jail or something. And it's shipwrecks, stoned, many perils, even by his own peoples, and other peoples. This is a true hero of the pattern that the Lord seemed fit, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they're like, oh, you guys follow Paul, not Jesus. Jesus, you has gave Paul the position for us to follow. We obviously follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but Paul is that guy that we're supposed to be patterning after and reading in his epistles. Because it's not Paul who wrote that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ who taught him that, and by the Holy Spirit wrote them books. It's not just a random guy that, he never gave up. He kept going, rejoicing in his infirmities, always gave God the glory, even in prison. Even when he was in jail and didn't have anything, he always gave God the glory. Like I said, God saw him fit to use this man, and he sees it fit to use you too. Even though you don't think you are, you have the strength. You can use the strength of the Lord. You can do what the Lord has said. Just believe what he says and do these things, and you'll feel better. I'm telling you, I used to be depressed or, whatever it was, or just a no good person. I was a bum. I had no direction. And once I chose to serve the Lord, yeah, that all changed. Yeah, I have direction. I have confidence. And, I've been around the block or two, so I've seen what the world has to offer. And it ain't much. So, and like I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is our ultimate hero. And he's faithful. God is faithful to us. We've already seen the verses, and all he wants you to believe is what 1 Corinthians 15, let's go to that, and then we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, because this is my first time up here, and I'm a little nervous, but I think I want to close it just by reading these words, because these are the words. This is the gospel. There's other gospels in the Bible, but this is the gospel that saves. For anybody that's listening, I just wanted to close it in this. And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So I just reading that, just want you to hear that you believe this, and you know that it's not of works. Today it has nothing to do with works. It's just believing this, believing the gospel. And that's your first, that's what you first do in your walk as a Christian. But we want to be heroes. We want to be heroes to each other. We want to be faithful, be like these heroes of faith that we went through. They had all these tribulations and all these things. And God put that chapter in there for us to go back and reflect on that, because that's, it will help us in what we're going through. And so, are you going to be faithful and be heroic today, or tomorrow, or the next day, or keep these truths in you? Because that's what the Lord asks. He wants us to be ambassadors, but we're also soldiers, and soldiers in Christ, and to fight for what's right and to defend the faith. So. And so I leave you with this. I went off my. So basically, and so people ask, so how do I do these things? Okay, so I have a list: teach, preach, hand out tracts, support Grace Ministries, help out the local church, support Grace Believers, talk about Christ to anyone you meet, Jail Ministries. Be a hero in the faith of Grace today, and share it with friends and family online. And you could do all these things to serve the Lord. And I'm just so grateful that I have an opportunity to talk up here. So hopefully you can take these truths and take them for your own, because we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, we give God the glory, and just appreciative for all that. So, we want to study His Word rightly divided. That's what we want to do, because there's a wrong way to divide, and we want it to. And we, and our mail comes from Paul's epistle. So, thank you, and I'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the gospel. Help us to be faithful heroes to each other and to people that need to be saved, because there's such a greater amount of people that are not saved compared to the saved, and we have a duty and an honor to do these things. And let us be strong and confident throughout the week, and accomplish our goals, and to honor you and glory you in everything that we do. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.